O Lord, open my lips.
And I will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son. And to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now and will be forever. Amen. Praise to you, O Christ, Lamb of our salvation. The Lord has redeemed his people. Oh, come, let us worship him. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. The deep places of the earth are in his hand. The strength of the hills is his also. Thus is his, for he made it, and his hand formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The Lord has redeemed his people. Oh, come, let us worship him. You may be seated. The hymn is found inside your yellow bulletin. Look from thy sphere of endless days, O God of mercy and of might. In pity look on those who stray, benighted in this land of light. In people pale, in lonely glen, in crowded mart by stream of sea, how many of the sons of men hear not the message sent from thee? Send forth thy heralds, Lord, to call the thoughtless young, the hardened old, a scattered homeless flock, till all be gathered to thy peaceful fold. Send them thy mighty word to the dreary scene that makes us sudden as we gaze shall grow with love in waters green, shall grow the voice of praise. Amen. Our psalm is also found in the yellow bulletin. Psalm 132. We'll chant responsibly. I'll do the antiphon and stanza one. This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. Lord, remember David and all his afflictions. Surely I will not go into the chamber of my house, or go up to the comfort of my bed.
I will not give sleep to my eyes, or slumber to my eyelids,
until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the Mighty One of Jacob.
He will be elevated in Ephrathah, we found it in the fields of the woods.
Let us go into his tabernacle. Let us worship at his footstool. Let your priest be clothed with righteousness, and let your saints shout for joy.
For your servant David's sake, do not turn away the face of your anointed.
The Lord has sworn in truth to David, he will not turn from it.
I will set upon your throne the fruit of your body.
If your sons will keep my covenant and my testimony which I shall teach them, their sons also shall sit upon your throne forevermore.
For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has decided for his dwelling place.
This is my resting place forever. Here I dwell, for I have desired it.
I will abundantly bless the provision. I will satisfy the poor with bread.
I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall sing aloud for joy. His enemies I will clothe with shame, but upon himself his crown shall flourish. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. Psalm 110. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion. Rule in the midst of your enemies.
Your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power. In the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning, you have the dew of your youth.
The Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek.
The Lord is at your right hand. He shall execute kings in the day of Israel.
He shall judge among the nations. He shall fill the places with dead bodies. He shall execute the heads of many countries.
He shall drink of the brook by the wayside. Their bodies shall lift up the head.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Psalm 112. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments.
His kingdom is heavenly on earth. A generation of the upright will be blessed.
Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion.
Surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be an everlasting remembrance.
He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord.
His heart is established. He will not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies.
He has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted with honor.
The wicked will see it and be grieved. He will gnash his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son. And to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. After the readings, the responsory is on page 212, the responsory for Lent. The epistle reading for St. Patrick, Bishop and Confessor, is from the 7th chapter of Hebrews. Also, there were many priests, but because they were prevented by death from continuing, but he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once for all when he offered up himself. Here ends the reading. The second reading is from St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, beginning at verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. He said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Here ends the reading. We have an advocate with the Father. Jesus is the propitiation for our sins.
He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people.
Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is put away.
He was delivered up to death.
We have an advocate with the Father. Jesus is the propitiation for our sins.
He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people.
Our sermon text is from Hebrews. Chapter 7, verse 11 says this, Therefore, if perfection were through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise according to the order of Melchizedek and not be called according to the order of Aaron? This is our text. We pray. O Lord Jesus, who has done all things well, who makest both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak, I beseech thee, lay thy hands upon our pastor, loose the string of his tongue, that he may speak plainly. Open the deaf ears of thy people, that they may hear the words which belong unto eternal life, who livest and reignest with the Father and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The author of the Hebrews in chapter 6 introduces Abraham and speaks about the promises which God made to him and the hope which we have as a result of that gospel promise. He then goes on to speak of the Old Testament high priest, which he calls the forerunner to our high priest, Jesus Christ. When Abraham returned from defeating the kings of the north and rescued his kinsman Lot, he was blessed by Melchizedek, whose father and genealogy we do not know. In the Old Testament reading for Judica Sunday, we'll read just a little bit later today, Genesis 12, 2-3, we will hear God say to Abraham, I will make you a great nation, I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. Thus, our blessed patriarch Abraham, who was a blessing to all the earth, surprisingly receives a blessing from Melchizedek. In chapter 7, verse 4, the Hebrews author says, Now consider how great this man was, to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. And then he goes on to explain in verses 6 and 7, But he whose genealogy is not derived from them received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. Now beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the better. You see, the priest Melchizedek, who comes out of nowhere to bless Abraham, must indeed be great. And yet, Melchizedek is only a forerunner. He goes before in order to prepare us for Jesus, who is the greater high priest. Now, there had been other priests who followed Melchizedek and others, those who were in the Levitical line. You see, when the 12 tribes came out of Egypt, God appointed Moses and had him appoint Aaron and his sons to be high priests and took the whole tribe of Levi to serve in the temple. But Melchizedek did not foreshadow the Levitical priesthood as if somehow that were the fulfillment. No, there was something more, something greater to come. So Hebrews 7, verse 11 says, therefore, if perfection were through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise according to the order of Melchizedek and not be called according to the order of Aaron? The author's point is that the Levitical priesthood was not perfection. It did not have completion. And so this morning, let us consider the high priest, which was fitting for us. Let us direct our eyes to the high priest, which we needed. You see, first of all, those in the Levitical priesthood were not holy. They were chosen among men, and thus they themselves were sinners just as we are. The job which we needed required a holy, innocent, and undefiled priest. And yet those Old Testament priests needed to offer up a sacrifice for their own sins first and then for the people. As both we and they fall into sin again and again, this repetition of the sacrifice for sins, well, showed us that they never quite got the job which we needed done. We needed a high priest who was not tainted with original sin. We needed a high priest who was separate from sinners. Melchizedek, yes, he was surely a sinful man as we are, but he was definitely separated in the sense that he shows up for the first time in Genesis 14, and then we never hear from him again. This unusual man does appear to be out of the ordinary course of things. And that's why the author of Hebrews speaks of Melchizedek and says he is without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually. Our Jesus is the only one who is truly separate from sinners. As the second person of the Trinity, he was holy. Though he took on human flesh, he was not conceived in the usual way, but born of a virgin. And thus, our God-man was innocent and undefiled. He was truly separate from sinners. And when he came to atone for our sins, he didn't need to first offer up a sacrifice for his own sins, for he had none. Second, those in the Levitical priesthood died, and then someone else had to be appointed in their place. Now, why did someone need to be appointed, someone else? Well, because the job was not done. There was still the need for the sacrifice for sins. And when one could not continue in the office, then another took his place, and it continued and continued. The law which appointed this continuing sacrifice for sins never reached its fulfillment. The author says, for the law made nothing perfect. So we needed a change. A change of law, a stronger law, if you will. And with the coming of our high priest, there is, quote, an annulling of the former commandment because of its weakness and unprofitableness. And then with the coming of our Jesus, there is a new high priest. And when a new priest comes, there is a new law. And he enacts a new law, quote, the beginning of a better hope through which we draw near to God. So you see, when our innocent Jesus suffered and died to make atonement for our sins, he completed the job. There's no longer a need for anyone to stand in his office. Further, through his resurrection, he lives forever. Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. And so this new law which we needed is not really law at all, but gospel. The new law is the new covenant, which is secured and complete by a perfect high priest who remains in office. You see, the coming of Jesus means there's no longer a succession of priests one after another. With Jesus, there is an unchangeable priesthood. So as the author says, Jesus is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Melchizedek, his blessing of blessed Abraham, was designed to teach us. To teach us there was going to be a high priest through whom even Abraham would be blessed. The Levitical priesthood, it was only an approximation of the fulfillment which was to come in Christ. And now, with our Savior's sacrifice, once for all, he has become higher than the heavens. He receives eternal accolades and praise. We heard our God's proclamation concerning Jesus, our priest, when we chanted this morning, Psalm 110. In verse 4 it says, "The Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." And concerning the utter completion of that job, it says this, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. So, have a seat. You have completed the job." Amen. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. The Benedictus is the appointed canticle in Lent, page 217. We stand. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. He spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, when the day shall dawn upon us from on high, to give light to them who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now and will be forever. Amen. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us pray. O God, who didst call Patrick to preach the gospel, grant to thy servants steadfastness in the confession of the true faith, that they would preach that unchanging gospel in the midst of the darkness of this age. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
We beseech thee, Almighty God, mercifully to look upon thy people, that by thy great goodness they may be governed and preserved evermore, both in body and soul, through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord.
Amen.
Shed your Holy Spirit upon your people, O Lord, and make ready our hearts this day to hear and keep your holy word, that in the communion of your congregation we may rightly sanctify your holy day, and through your word with all your saints come to eternal blessedness. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
The hymn is in Lutheran worship 271. Celebrate St. Patrick's Day without hymn 271. Oh, that's not the right one. 172. 172. Whoops. Okay, maybe you could without 271, but not without 172. A little dyslexia there. Find unto myself today the strong name of the Trinity, by invocation of the same, the three in one and one in three. I bind this day to me forever by power of faith. Christ's incarnation, his baptism in the Jordan River, his cross of death for my salvation, his bursting form, the spiced tomb, his riding up the heavenly way, his coming at the day of doom, I bind unto myself today. I bind unto myself today the virtues of the starlit heaven, the glorious sun's life-giving ray, the whiteness of the moon at even, the flashing of the lightning free, the whirling winds, tempestuous shocks, the stable earth, the deep salt sea, around the old eternal rocks. I bind unto myself today the powers of God to hold and lead, his eye to watch, his might to stay, his ear to hearken to my need, the wisdom of my God to teach, his hand to guide, his shield to ward, the word of God to give me speech, his heavenly host to be my God. I bind unto myself to name the strong name of the Trinity by invocation of the same, the three in one and one in three, of whom all nature has creation, eternal Father, Spirit, Word. Praise to the Lord of my salvation. Salvation is of Christ.